Anyway, hey, it is good to be together. We are in a series called The Good and Beautiful Community, where we're talking, kind of kicking this year off, our strengthening the roots focus and emphasis, talking about the community that we're a part of. And one of the things that we want to work on today is how every community really needs a commonly understood and agreed upon kind of baseline ethic for how we understand how we ought to treat one another, so that I can come into relationship and have certain expectations of you, how you're going to treat me, and you can have the same thing from me. And every community kind of needs one of those. I got to thinking about this a few weeks ago. My family and I had piled into the van. We were on our way to Sunday night church, and you know, a family van on the way to church is like the perfect environment for, you would hope, peace on earth and shalom and all of those wonderful things. But for some reason, it's like this microcosm of like, who's wearing a coat, who's not wearing a coat, who's got their foot in my space, who's looking at me funny, you know, and all these kinds of things. I'm pretty sure that day it was Ashley who was looking at somebody funny and sticking her foot over in my side of the van. And so I was really frustrated with her. No. And for whatever reason, it just kind of became this world war. And we finally got things settled down after Ashley kind of got in line. And then Ashley like summons her best mama bear, kind of like Berenstain Bears wisdom. And she says, you know, family, in that sweet voice. And she says, if we would all, and we've talked about this before, if we would all just remember two things, just two things, these commonly agreed upon baseline foundational ethical things that we're going to, if we would all just two things, keep your hands and your feet to yourselves and use kind words, right? Then 99% of our problems would never come up. If we would just do these two things, this was Ashley trying to say, this is our commonly agreed upon baseline, foundational, fundamental ethic with how we ought to expect one another to treat one another in this community that we call a family. Every community needs something like that. We need one of these. And so as we start to talk about what kind of community God wants to build here and develop and deepen here in 2018 at Real Life Community, and maybe you're guest with us today and you're like, what kind of community am I like checking out here that I might be a part of? This is maybe a great Sunday for you to say, okay, yeah, that sounds like a great commonly agreed upon thing that I'd like to be a part of this kind of community. So Jesus, I think when he begins to talk about the golden rule, what we understand today as the golden rule from Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. I think this is a part of what Jesus is getting at. He's talking about life in the kingdom of God. And there are all these people gathered around the countryside listening to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And he gets to this point in the Sermon on the Mount where he's gathering them all who are used to living in all sorts of different kinds of communities. And there's the Roman Empire and there's the Jewish people and there's all sorts of other groups that are gathered around there. And Jesus says, listen, all of us can live together. Everybody's invited to live in the kingdom of God. The gates are wide open. Come on in. Here is our commonly agreed upon fundamental foundational ethic for how we treat one another in everything. Do to others what you would have them do to you. For this, Jesus says, sums up the law and the prophets. Now, this golden rule is not unique. Jesus isn't the first person to say it. He's not the only person to say it. In fact, just about every culture throughout history has had some variation or formulation of the golden rule. So it's not just a Judeo-Christian thing. It's something that all of us, on one level or another, faith or not, can recognize as, man, that's a pretty valuable way to look at things. Like, if we would all do that, then it would be a pretty special kind of community. But every community, every historical kind of philosophy or nation or people group and lots of faith systems have some variation of this golden rule. But for Jesus, the golden rule grows up out of his understanding, not just of some like metaphysical, like, you know, philosophy or something. It grows up out of his understanding of what God was trying to teach his people through the law and the prophets. The first five books of the Bible that we know today as the Old Testament, and then the section of the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and all on down the line. And Jesus, when he read the law and all these detailed accounts of how God was encouraging his people and commanding his people to live in community with God and with one another, and all these little details, and then the prophets, you know, interpreted and gave expression to those as well. When Jesus read all of these details, he said that we can sum all of these things up in this one statement, in the golden rule. That it all comes up out of the law and the prophets. So this is the summary. Now, this is, I think, a great starting point. If we were to take this, you know, get in the family van and pile in, and everybody said, look, if you would just treat one another as do to others as you would have them do unto you, then that would solve probably 99% of the problems that we have right off the bat. And so it's a good starting point, but it's not, for one reason or another, it doesn't quite get us all the way there, because there still needs some interpretation. And it's so often, maybe you've noticed this before, the golden rule, as beautiful as it is, and as simple as it is, it's often misapplied. Right? There's all kinds of variations on the golden rule, and there's all kinds of ways that we take it and we misapply it. Maybe you've been working with somebody before and they say, well, so-and-so did this to me, and so that must be the way that they want to be treated, so I'm going to do it back to them. And that's like our little variation of the golden rule, right? That's not the golden rule, right? But sometimes we can interpret it like that. So, well, if somebody's treating me that way, then that must be the way they want to be treated. It doesn't work like that, right? Or maybe we misapply it and we try and use the golden rule as kind of a quid pro quo, kind of like, if I treat you this way, I'm doing it so that you will treat me in return the way that I want to be treated. And that also is not what Jesus is talking about in the golden rule. So it's maybe easy to misunderstand or misapply. It needs some clarification and context. Another way that it might get a little fuzzy, that it might be hard to apply, is what if I want to be treated a certain way that's not good for me, right? Have you ever thought about this? Like, maybe I just want to be left alone and I don't want anybody to bother me or call out my junk or, you know, like say anything to me that's ever uncomfortable. And so that might be what I want, and then I might treat you the same way, which would be really rude of me, right, and unloving. And yet that would still kind of technically fall under the golden rule. Well, he wants to be left alone. You get what I'm saying? So there needs to be a little bit more context and application. So the context matters. And it clarifies the golden rule in important ways. And Jesus actually gives the golden rule some context in his talk. And then, and for Jesus, the context, again, is the law and the prophets. That if we want to understand what Jesus is trying to get across with how he's talking about the golden rule, we have to go back and look at the law and the prophets. And this wasn't the only time Jesus would talk about the law and the prophets. If you fast forward several pages in Matthew's gospel to Matthew chapter 22, he's getting quizzed on the law and the prophets. Jesus, what do you think is the greatest commandment in the law and the prophets? It was this big debate in the day. Lots of people had fun talking about all these little detailed commands and which one was the most important. And Jesus got asked this question by some experts in the law one day. And in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40, he said this. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." So again, golden rule, good basic starting point. Context matters, so the context is going to be the law and the prophets. And Jesus says the most important thing in the law and the prophets is love of God. So, in Jesus' context, in the kingdom of God world, the golden rule makes sense as an expression or a summary, at least in part, of the command to love the Lord your God with your whole being. Okay? So, the golden rule is not going to make sense in our community apart from this first and greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Now, Jesus was just asked, many of you know this, was just asked for one command. What's the one greatest command? But Jesus was like, I'm going to get some extra credit here. I'm going to throw in an extra one. And so he says, and the second is like it. Quoting from Leviticus 19 here, he says, love your neighbor as yourself. Now that sounds a lot like the golden rule, doesn't it? Like this real early, like ancient wisdom kind of context of love your neighbor as yourself. Do to others as you would have them do to you. And then he says this line that has always just fascinated me. He says, all the law and the prophets, like so much of this part of the Bible, all of it hangs on these two commandments. You think of like if the law and the prophets were like the door in a doorway, right? All of these commands, the 600 and some commands, detailed instructions for how we live in community, how God's people are to live in community. If that were the door, Jesus says like there's like these two hinges. Love God with everything you are and love your neighbor as yourself. And if you lose either one of these, the whole door falls off, right? Like you take one off and the door hangs all funny and it won't close right and it never seals right. You take both of them off and the door just falls down and it doesn't function at all. Like to me, this isn't just Jesus saying the whole law and the prophets are summarized by this. They're saying you only understand the law and the prophets if it swings on these things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. We can't talk about the golden rule without also talking about love of God and love of others. Can't talk about the golden rule without talking about the love of God and the love of others. That is the context. And this love, this kind of love, vertically with us and God and horizontally between one another, this is the kind of context that takes the golden rule that's present in so many different cultures and philosophies, and it takes it and puts it into a Judeo-Christian context. The people of God say, this is what we mean by the golden rule. This is how we avoid misinterpretations. This is how we don't land in ruts trying to practice it. If it sits in the context of love of God and neighbor, then it will make sense and be applied properly. But even then, you take this word love, and maybe when Jesus was saying it, it had a little bit of a tighter context, but I know today love means all sorts of different things. And so even then, maybe it's a little fuzzy. Love. What are we talking about? What kind of love? Romantic love? Passionate love? Brotherly love? Just like the kindness kind of love? The love that we love tacos or that we love the Titans? I'm sorry, by the way. I know your pain. I'm a Colts fan and I get all of that. I recognize. I'm sorry. Too soon? Too soon. Okay. Too soon. The Patriots. Anyway, sorry. I'm sorry. I'm so sidetracked here. Get back on it. I really got myself sidetracked right there. Where was I? Oh, love. Yeah. So what kind of love? Is it love or is it just love? Is it, you know, what kind of love are we talking about? So Jesus even clarifies this. So he talks about the golden rule. He talks about the context of the law and the prophets. Then he talks about love of God and neighbor. And then right before Jesus is handed over to be crucified, guys, he shares that final Passover meal with his disciples. He washes the disciples' feet. He starts to give them some instructions and hinting to them again, I'm going to give my life for you. And then he gives them this one final command, right? This one final command. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. What kind of love are we talking about? The kind of love that Jesus showed to his disciples over a period of 3 years of showing them grace and calling them and believing in them and sending them out and equipping them and pouring his life into them and serving them and washing their feet. And then in just the next day or so, they're going to see an even bigger expression of him laying down his life for them. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. This is the kind, the quality, the flavor of love that we're talking about here. By this, he says, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Man, guys, this is a beautiful couple of verses for so many reasons. Jesus just brings it all to a point right here, just kind of wraps all of this up. This is my command for you. Notice Jesus' command, his final command wasn't, think about all the things that it wasn't, you know? Like, a new command I give you, if you want to be my disciples, if you want to be called by my name, make sure you win all of your arguments on Facebook by whatever means necessary, you know? Like, he doesn't go that route. Jesus doesn't say, you know, I want you to bring in the national glory of Israel again by whatever means necessary. So join the Pharisees or the Sadducees or whatever political or religious party you need to do and like get into those agendas and follow it on to the kingdom of. He doesn't say that stuff. It just makes it real simple. I want you to love one another, guys, the way that you have been loved by me. You think about that, and I'm guessing that every one of those 12 disciples who were listening to Jesus give this new command immediately began to have images, memories of the last 3 years. Maybe the one where he just washed their feet come up in their minds, and they begin to think about those particular things where Jesus knew their name and called them by name and showed them grace and believed in them and did something, accepted, embraced them, brought them into a community, served them, called them, like just painted a picture of life in the kingdom for them. And so every one of them, as Jesus is saying, as I have loved you, they all had their own little stories around that. And it began to mean all these particular kinds of things. It wasn't just a fuzzy feeling for one another. It were these real kinds of ways that they were to treat one another because of how Jesus treated them. And I love that last part of it too. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples. How? If you love one another. Let me see if we can say this together. How will the world know that you and I are disciples of Jesus? Let's say it together. If you love one another. Let's change it to if we love one another. How will the world know that you and I, that real life community, that other Christians around the world, how will the world know that we are disciples of Jesus if we love one another? That's it. The world doesn't know that we're followers of Jesus because we've got the biggest, fanciest building or the smallest, dumpiest building. Like, it doesn't matter, right? The world doesn't know that we are Jesus' disciples because we've got the coolest 10-year vision statement and it comes with a video and like a handout or whatever. Like, the world doesn't care. That doesn't mean that we're Jesus' disciples. It doesn't matter if we've got the comfiest t-shirts with the coolest logos. Like, that's not what makes people recognize that we are disciples of Jesus. It doesn't matter how many, the world doesn't know based on how many times we like check out at Lifeway or the Christian Book Distributor store in Murfreesboro. It doesn't recognize us as his disciples based on like how big the Ichthus fish is on the back of our car. You know, like those kinds of things are irrelevant. There is only one relevant indicator for the rest of the world to be able to recognize that you are a peculiar people embraced by God and have chosen to be his followers. And that is how we love one another. That's it. That's how. This is the one indicator, the particular thing that calls and separates us to be the peculiar people of God in the world that ought to qualitatively make a community like this different, recognizably different. Do this one thing, Jesus says. You can almost hear him say, "Do this. Will you do this one thing for me as I get ready to shoulder the weight of the sins of the entire world on your behalf? Can you just love one another in response to this?" You can almost hear Jesus saying, like, if you would just do this, it would solve 99% of your problems. You know, like, we might be able to make it to church. Okay. One thing. The early church took this command from Jesus very seriously, and And we start reading through the New Testament, and of course we see Matthew call out a few of the different places that Jesus talked about the golden rule and the summary of the law and the most important commandments and the new command, and all these things work together. But as we go on in the New Testament, you find the early church taking this command to love one another very seriously and playing it out in particular context. This is what it looks like in relationship here and here and here. And a couple months ago, we began that whole vision series, and one of the messages in there was talking about all the one another's in the New Testament. And we talked about all the different ways that we're called to treat one another, to forgive one another, to accept one another, to love one another, to pray for one another, to embrace and encourage and build up and edify, and all these kinds of things that we are to do for one another. And one of the things that rose up to me as I was going through all these is the motivation behind so many of these commands for how we are to treat one another in the body of Christ. I want you to see, rather than just like come right out at it, I want you to see, we're going to visit just a couple of them and see if you can find a common thread. I've given you a hint in the slides. So let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. This is one of those one another passages. And walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Walk in the way of love just as Christ loved us, gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. How about Romans 15:7? See if you can see a thread in here. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. How about Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Are you seeing the thread here? I've italicized the as Christ or as God in Christ. These phrases, you find them pop up all over the New Testament, that when the rubber meets the road and we start talking about how we are to live in community with one another, for the New Testament, the commonly agreed upon foundational ethic in this kind of body is that we are to treat one another as God in Christ has treated us. Are you with me here? Wouldn't that be a beautiful community? You think about all the different ways that God has shown you grace, has accepted you, has loved you, has pursued you, has not given up on you, has known you deeply, has been passionate about you, has shown you grace, has called you into growth, has built you up, has adopted you, has saved you, has laid his life down for you, has served you, has equipped you, has filled you with his very own spirit. And all of these things that God has done for you and I by grace, this is how God has treated us in Christ. This then is how we are to treat one another, as God in Christ has treated us. Here's our common baseline ethic, our particular kind of expression of the golden rule, that we treat one another as God in Christ has treated us. Jesus came not only to die for our sins and to give us the possibility of life with God and the hope for eternity with God, but he also spent this time on earth and his whole life on earth modeling for us what a life of being poured out in the Spirit of God looks like, what a life in the kingdom of God looks like. And then he invites all of the people to come in and to be a part of that with him and to practice what it's like to live life in the kingdom of God. Jesus gives us an expression of that. This is almost like Jesus' way of saying to us, look at me, look at how I treat you, treat one another in this way. This is part of the beauty of being a part of a church body. It's not that we always get it right. It's not that we always do treat one another as God in Christ treats us. There's going to be a need for a lot of room for grace, but it's the beauty of that we start with the commonly agreed upon foundational ethic that this is where we start and this is what we expect of one another. And if we're ever going to spend eternity in God's kingdom where everything functions and operates this way, then we need a playground to try and practice this, right? So you can kind of picture like a bunch of third graders running around and fourth graders and just trying to figure out how to do this, how to treat one another as God in Christ has treated us, as this practice ground, as this playground for learning to live in eternity the way that it's going to be, right? Can we agree on this together this morning? Again, I'm not going to always get it right. I'm going to need you to show me grace because that's what God has shown you. That's what God has shown me, right? You're not always going to get it right. I'm going to try and do that same thing for you. But that everything gets filtered through how has God treated me in Christ? I'm going to treat you the same way. We're going to treat one another the same way. What a great, common, fundamental, foundational baseline ethic for body life together that helps to create the good and beautiful community. I want to invite the band to come forward. And those who are serving communion today, one of the great sacraments that we get to take part in on a regular basis, on a monthly basis here, is the sacrament of communion. And communion is the sacrament that reminds us not only of Christ's sacrificial death for our sins and the forgiveness that God offers us through this death, but it reminds us of the whole way of life of Christ, right? And so every time we take communion, every time we take the cup and we take the bread and we remember that Christ's blood was shed for us and his body was broken for us, it reminds us this is how God in Christ has treated us. He's given his life over for us. And this is the way of life that we're called into as well. So would you stand? We're going to say a quick prayer together. And then whatever, this is a little different. Normally we just have one aisle, but we've got two today. So just go down whatever aisle you want. Receive the elements, bring them back to your seat, sing together, and at some point in the song after everybody's been served, we'll take the elements together and just make this a time of worship together. So would you pray? Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this morning, for this community, that you are, by your grace, making good and beautiful. And God, we thank you for all the things that you have taught us, that you continue to teach us, about what it looks like to live in relationship with you and with one another. We pray that your kind and style and quality, a particular flavor of love would be known here, that there would be a palpable just difference that we would recognize in this community, that your love would make it good and beautiful. God, as we receive the elements today, let us be reminded that these are the ways that you have called us to love one another in the way that you have loved us. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. Would you come?